Jeremy Kahn, when I looked at the all-star roster, I thought to myself, Orioles in last place, man, I would love to see Jackson Holliday in the all-star game on the all-star roster, but I don't know whether there's a snub. And then I start looking at the roster construction, and I'm like, yeah, it's definitely a snub because he's the second best, statistically, the second best second baseman in the American League. Who's the other second baseman on the roster?
So right now, they did put Brandon Lau on the roster.
Oh, they did put him on. Okay.
But hold on. So here's what they do. They list middle infielders. That's how they list them.
Gotcha.
And then infield or, you know, or outfield, infield, however they have it set up. Because the starters, if you want to look at the game, because you're gonna see why I think this is kind of goofy. So they have Jose Ramirez, absolutely should start at third base.
Yeah.
Second base is Torres, which, again, he's having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to argue it. And then you look at who they picked up. They picked up Alex Bregman, who hasn't played since the end of May. So he's not playing in the All-Star game. That allows him to replace someone else. Is this kind of a tip of the cap to some of these guys that are hurt to say, hey, you're going to get your All-Star bonus, but you're not going to play in the game. I think Jackson Holliday ends up being an All-Star regardless.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. Because Lau's hurt now, and he's going to be out for a while. And then the other person they put in the game, Alex Bregman's still hurt. Is he going to be back for the All-Star game? So that's two guys that are out right now in that infield. And then they add in Jazz Chisholm, and he's supposed to be the guy that beats out
Jackson Holliday. Who's plays third base.
Jazz Chisholm hasn't played second base the entire season. The entire season. And as you pointed out to me, it's like, he could have been a defensive replacement at second, but he's played third base the whole year. Plus, he spent a good portion of time on the IL. What is it with these managers that go, okay, all right, he missed 2 weeks, but no big deal. I mean, we just have Alex Bregman, who he had good numbers, got 11 bombs in that short period of time. But he's missed he's played 51 games. He's almost missed half of that. Why are you putting him in the All-Star game?
Well, Jazz Chisholm has played a little bit at second base.
Well, I just looked up he may have been a defensive replacement. Did he start any games at second base?
He started 29 games there.
The thing I had said he
didn't. According to Baseball Reference. Is this Jazz Chisholm I'm looking at?
I mean, if you're looking at the...
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm.
Because I just pulled it up and they said he played zero games.
2025 looks like he, at Yankees, he played 29 games at second base, 29 games at third.
All right, well, I'll check it and double check it and match it up with what I had. But what I had said he hadn't played at all. But regardless, like even picking these guys up that have been hurt for extended periods of time, should they be faulted for that? Are their numbers as good? Should you be credited for playing more games than these guys? And again, you pointed out who the manager is.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick who he wants
Karen.
From his team. Yeah. Karen Boone.
Karen Boone is the manager. Actually, he was pretty nice to me.
He
actually knew my name. I was shocked.
How?
When I did the Roku game.
Oh.
I walked into his office. We did the pregame interview. He said, hey, how you doing, Rob? And he grabbed my hand. I'm like, oh.
Karen. You don't know why, though?
No, why?
He stopped off at a Royal Farms and he saw your name written
Arlong
on one of the gas stations.
How did he know it was Rob, though?
Huh? Oh, because he'd heard. I mean, everybody's pointing out, that's Rob Long. That's the radio guy. He's tagging everything in town.
Could you isolate that, please? I'm tagging everything in town. 410-583-1057, that's the number. So you believe Jackson Holliday will ultimately get the nod?
Well, you look at it. We have Brandon Lau's hurt. And Alex Bregman, is he going to come back just for the All-Star game? I haven't seen when he's supposed to come back. And again, I don't know if that's a tip of the cap to these players to say, hey, I know you've got bonuses. The Jazz Chisholm thing makes sense because of him being on Aaron Boone's roster. Like, he missed a good portion of time. And up until recently, I mean, he had like four homers he hit in a row. I think over this past week, he had a home run he hit in four out of five games or four games in a row or something like that. And that's what makes his numbers look even better right now. But when they were making these decisions, this wasn't the case. So and it just seems like BS, but I do think Jackson Holliday gets in. And, you know, I was getting angry earlier. I saw Coleman had posted something about bad teams usually only get one all-star or last place teams. And people are chiming in going, well, he doesn't deserve to be, like, Jackson doesn't deserve to be there. They should send Gunner to play second. What are you talking about?
Well, to be honest with you, with the way they're doing this now, it didn't make sense to me earlier, Jeremy. Now it does. If you're telling me Jazz Chisholm is the answer to a second baseman not being able to play when he played 29, I don't care that he played 20. He only played 29 games there out of 80-something games. So if that's the answer, well, yeah, Gunnar Henderson now could be the answer. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. If you're picking middle infielder and not second baseman.
This would be akin to them not putting Ryan O'Hearn in at DH, putting him in at first base because he had 20-some games there. You know, and O'Hearn was saying, hey, look, I played the outfield, I played first base, but we all know what his main role in this team is. It's the hit. So nobody's going to complain about him being put at DH. But Jazz has played third more than he's played anywhere else. I'm still looking for it. Like, I did have this article. I wrote it down. Anyway, but when you're looking at what Jazz has done this year, I mean, the power numbers are there clearly, but it's a lot of it's come in the past week or so. He's got 15 bombs. What does Jackson have? 12?
Yeah.
Is he around there?
This is based on yesterday for your boy Jazz Chisholm. Yankee manager Aaron Boone told reporters Chisholm is dealing with some shoulder stuff that has been bothering him for a couple of weeks. It'll be Peraza in the hot corner and DJ LeMahieu somehow. But so basically, he did not play yesterday.
And he's hurt too. Yeah, they're saying he might not be back until Wednesday.
Gleyber Torres, you forgot about him. He wasn't in the lineup Sunday either. Torres is out Sunday afternoon showdown of abundance of caution following an early exit from Saturday's game with a neck contusion. So some of these guys, you know.
Well, again, I think there is some placating to getting guys in the All-Star game so they hit their bonuses. But why on earth would you end up picking a bunch of – because tell me if I'm wrong, but the manager picks the all the other pieces, right? The pitchers and all that. And you'd have to think, too, with like Kyle Stowers making the All-Star game as an outfielder is really taken away from some of the other outfielders that you're going to have. It's once they get that one position. And we'll see if the Marlins get another one. I thought maybe their catcher who came on and was hitting the hell out of the ball for the longest period of time, the kid Augustin Ramirez. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a chance for him. And when you look at their pitching staff, there's just not a lot there. They have a lot of decent pitchers who aren't having the type of year you'd expect them to have.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan. Ryan Ripken would join us at 745, but on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Jeremy.
Yeah, my shovel is, I did something at a 4th of July party, which I still think is funny, and I think maybe you guys might like it. But still embarrassing, and that person still hasn't looked at me the same way. So I'll tell you what I did in shovels when we come back.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota, with exclusive benefits including 4 years of free service maintenance or 50,000 miles. Jerry's Toyota, just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
Before we get on with shovels, Jeremy, I am agreeing with you now. I read this. Alex Bregman said he is hopeful, optimistic that he'll be back before the All-Star break. However, Alex Cora, the manager, told reporters that's highly unlikely. I'm with you on this. Maybe they're putting these guys in so they can get the bonus.
Where was Alex Cora at before Boston?
Houston.
Where was Alex Bregman at before Boston?
Houston.
Yeah, I mean, he's helping his buddy out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... It's BS, but this is, I don't know why they let the manager pick who should be on there. Like, have baseball do it.
Yeah. Jeremy, who gets your shovel this morning?
My shovel goes to me. And I like this one. So, my buddy Wang has this 4th of July party we go to every year. Everybody thinks he's Asian. He's not.
Is his real name Wang?
His real name's Steve. But, like, the way the story went is that he was at a 7-Eleven late night after a night of drinking. He's in there looking at the 7-Eleven chicken wings or whatever, and there was this big, heavy-set black lady looks over and goes, ooh, I'd eat you up like a little chicken wang.
So you call it Wang.
So he became Wang. Ironically, he ended up owning a wing business for a while there. But
it went to his head.
Yeah. But we went to his 4th of July party. He has it every year. He figured me out because I'm the first one to show up every year. Because I'm going to be the first one to leave.
Okay.
And he called me on it this weekend, which is great. But my one buddy was like, if you're going up early, let me know because I want to come up early too. So, and I had to go up early because I told you I make my meat. And my meat was bigger this year. Yep. So everybody got to put it in their mouth. Right. It was great. There was a lot to go around. Thank you. So my buddy Mike said he's coming up. Mike has a beard. You know, he's walking. I see somebody walking down the hill and they're wearing like a little bathing suit, like shorter shorts. And I go, look at them gams, yeah. And then the guy starts walking closer. I have no idea who he is. It wasn't Mike. And the guy goes, what'd you say? And I said, oh, you're showing off those nice legs, huh? That guy could not look me in the eye the rest of the day.
I wouldn't have either.
He probably thought I was getting sweet on him. Uh-huh. The best part would have been if I had like a leopard bikini and just walked over to the pool, the diving board. Like, you know.
Why would you be wearing a leopard bikini?
I'm just saying, well, just, you know, in case I was, because I think it would have really creeped everyone out then. But
you'll need the help.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the embarrassment, everybody's looking at me like, you know, that's not him. Because in the distance with the sun behind him, I could see the beard. And I could see him walking towards me, and he said he was coming in early. You know, like, I'll be there early. That's who I'm looking for.
I would
like,
love to have been there.
The look on that dude's face when he got closer, and he goes, what did you say? And I said, nice game.
Because I would have added to it, Adelis. You're his type. You better watch yourself. Watch your drink today. So, Jeremy, I'm riding down I-95, and I see this beautiful, beautiful pearl white Lexus. You know, when you're driving, cars get your attention. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when cars get your attention, you want to see who drives. Is that human nature or is that just me?
Oh, you cut me off. I got to look at you. You got to see how
pissed I am. No, they didn't cut me off. I'm just saying. So I wanted to see. So I looked over and I'm giving the lady with the yellow dress and the yellow hat my shovel. Why am I giving her my shovel? Because she was controlling the steering wheel with her two legs as her left hand pulled back her cheek so she can put her eyeliner on in her mirror at about 70 miles an hour on I-95. Steering wheel, control with the legs, left hand right between her cheek and her eye, pulling it down so she could carefully place the... Let me be real careful in placing this pencil to my eye and endanger everybody else as well. I'm looking at her like, are you freaking kidding me? And I was afraid to blow the horn because I didn't want to scare her.
Yeah.
And she, what if you hit a bump?
What if you did? She would have given you the finger. Like, what?
Why are you bothering me? What if she hits a bump in the road and loses control of the steering wheel with her legs?
It would be even better if she hit a bump in the road and the thing went right down her eye. Like she just all of a sudden drawing eye black on her face now. But like,
it's the most dangerous thing I've ever seen on the road, dude.
You've seen, like, I know there were people that posted on, you posted about this on Facebook or social media, and people were telling you all the different
worst stories.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. I watched a guy on 95 who's watching a movie on his phone or a video, a long ass video, because he's going 30 miles an hour, and I get around behind, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? So he's still watching it. Then we come up to some traffic. I get over, so he's coming back up again. Now he's going 30 miles an hour again, watching it on his phone. And I'm going, you're on a freaking highway, man. How are you watching an entire ass movie?
I don't get it.
But you can tell the people that are on their phone because they're going 70, then they're going 40, then they're going 70 again, and all of a sudden they slow down, and you're like, what are you doing? Yeah, you're messing with your GPS or you're on your phone.
I was yesterday off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. I went to our church picnic, Rosedale Baptist Church. I'm sorry. Went to our picnic. It's always great food there, by the way. They have a dessert contest at the end. It's like the best food. Like, people go out and show off. I ate the best potato salad yesterday. No raisins. And I think it may have given me the bubble guts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. I don't know what was in it. It was good. It was so good that if it gave me bubble gums, I'd eat it again.
See,
it was worth it.
Yeah, I know.
It
about
was worth
those.
The bubble guts. It was good. It had the potatoes. I hate potato salad where the potatoes are crunchy. Okay. I don't like crunchy potatoes in my potato salad.
But so they're not supposed to be, are they?
No, it's not. It was soft enough. It had eggs in it. Oh, man, it was good. Just a tad bit of relish.
Potato salad's the only kind of potatoes I don't like.
Really?
I don't like potato salad.
I posted on Twitter over the weekend.
Why are you going to give me potatoes and put all this wet stuff on it?
I've always heard that raisins in the potato salad is a white thing. But I got a lot of white friends.
No.
And none of them put raisins in their potato salad. So I want to know who these people are.
I think this is...
No, I heard potato salad. He said chicken salad. I've had raisins and apples and chicken salad.
That's called Napa style.
But I've heard that raisins... Have you heard that?
I brought it up on the show because it was this whole thing where most people do not. But there are some... whites that do, which is kind of weird. I don't have a problem with raisins being anything because I'm not eating that potato salad either way. I love raisins.
You know what's funny? We say the words so much, but people were commenting on me. I mean, on my post, they were using the word whites.
Whites only potato salad.
I'm like, you know, I got exposure to massing now. I'm one of these massing people who don't know I do radio. Don't read this and think, who is this dude?
Yeah. Well, like, I think something should be listed. Like, when you go to, like, a potluck, you should be able to tell who brought what.
Whites.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it should be white or blacklisted. I'm saying it should be the singular person. Like, if Betty brought this, I want to know what Betty did, because she's got 9 cats and they piss all over her house. So I don't want to eat Betty's food. You know what I mean?
Let's tell the truth now. If you went to a Christmas party and the old black lady from your office cooked the macaroni and egg.
I'm eating it.
All right.
All right. That's what
so
I'm saying.
So it is important.
Yeah, it is important.
It is important because that lady won't let you cough in her kitchen. Matter of fact, let's back up for a second. That lady won't let you in her kitchen.
If you put your arms above your head and the bottom of your arm shakes a lot,
that's good food.
I want to eat at your
place.
That's
good food.
You know it
that's
is.
That's good food.
Damn, this is tasty. Them arms need to jiggle.
She put her foot in it and her feet clean.
Well, I ain't eating that now.
Clean as, hey, listen, man. The older black woman is the cleanest kitchen on the face of the earth. Mm. She washes the stuff that was washed before she got it. My grandmother used to cut the greens and wash it in dishwashing liquid and then rinse it out and then wash it again without. That's how clean it was. Yeah. Trust me, bro. Mm.
Is this palm olive? No.
You wouldn't taste it, though. That's how there are bugs in it, baby. I ain't never seen no bugs because I clean them out.
I put them in the dishwasher.
Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, Clowney or Matt Juden? We'll give you the question on the other side right here on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris will be back tomorrow. Many people believe that the Ravens are still in need of a pass rusher. But one thing I like about the Ravens and how they select pass rushers, a lot of their pass rushers of the past have been guys who can do more than one thing. And I'm kind of used to that. I'm used to the Ravens having pass rushers who can at times not drop down and rush the passer, but drop back into coverage. I like the multifaceted ones. Two of the guys whose names have come out have been Jadeveon Clowney and Matt Judon. Jeremy, can I give you the blind taste test again? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm giving you a 3-year period. Both of them are early 30s. I think one is 32, the other one is 31. But here you go. This is 3 years. The past 3 years, one has had started 39 games, played in 43, has had a total of 12 pass defenses, 2 fumble recoveries, 17 sacks, and a combination of 117 tackles. The other person has played in 38 games, started 32, had an interception, 2 forced fumbles, one fumble recovery, 25 sacks, 114 combined tackles. 46 quarterback hits. The other ones, let me give you quarterback hits. 46 quarterback hits to 34 quarterback hits.
Are you asking me which one I'd rather have?
Yeah, in the blind taste test.
I mean, the second one.
The second one is Matt Judon. His numbers over the last 3 years are better than Jadeveon Clowney's across the board.
Yeah.
But now if you ask, well, who was better last year?
He played less games and had better stats, right?
Right. He played less games and had better stats. Now, last year, Jadeveon Clowney, 14 games, started and played. And he had a total of 5.5 sacks. Matthew Judon last year played 17 games, started 15, and he too only had a total of 5.5 sacks. Judon has only had 9.5 sacks over the past 2 years. Jadeveon Clowney over the past 2 years has been better.
Is Clowney done, right? Is he retired or is he?
I don't think he announced his retirement yet, Joe, did he? I don't think he has. I haven't heard an announcement.
I thought for sure that was coming. Maybe I just thought it was coming.
I think Jadeveon Clowney's the type of guy that give him a reason.
Yeah. Well, you said he wanted to go back home and he went to play for Carolina and you were like, why would you want to go there to finish your career? And the thing I was going to say about both of those teams is they're so bad that in the second half, you're probably you're probably trying to stop the run because teams are ahead. Now, yeah. I know they were better last year in Carolina, but the Patriots, man, they stunk. They were terrible last year. So, I think if you're looking at them equally, that Judon's the better player, but is he more reliable? Is he available? Mm-hmm. You know, and you might have that question about both of them at this point of their careers. But what are you asking them to do if you're bringing them in, right? Are you asking them to be a situational pass rusher? Are you asking them to play every single, you know, down at your outside linebacker positions? I don't think that's the case. I think they would be used much like DeAndre Hopkins is going to be used on offense.
410-583-1057 is the number. Want to hear from you. Which one of these players would you rather have right now? Matthew Judon's number sack total looks better, Jeremy, because back in 2022, he had 15.5. The last 2 years, he's had 9 combined. That same year, Jadeveon Clowney in sacks only had 2. Then he had 9.5 with the Ravens and 5.5 last year with Carolina.
But don't you think because of your surroundings that either one of them comes here, they put up better numbers here than they would in other places?
Yeah.
Because of how good the rest of the team around you is. Like, you're going to be asked to do essentially one thing, and that's get after the quarterback unless you're showing me you can do more. And it's one of the reasons, like, when we talk about pass rushers, I think Terrell Suggs was one of the most complete pass rushers we've ever seen with the moves he had to get to the quarterback, his ability to drop into coverage, and his ability to stop the run were actually really good for someone of his size. You look at some of these other guys, and it's like, if I'm only going to ask you to be a one-trick pony and you're going to come in on passing downs to go after the quarterback, hell yeah, they're going to have success with the players around them.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I want a guy. I don't want that guy.
What?
The guy that just comes in on passing situations. You know why? 2025. What's not a passing situation in the NFL?
Well, I think if you're ahead. I mean, if the other team's ahead and they're running the football. But you know that any third and more than 2 yards is going to be a passing situation.
Well, so
you know
he's on first down.
That's fine. You know teams mix it up. But I'm saying, like, everyone throws now.
Right.
But if you know specific passing downs, like, I had a chance when I flew over to Indy. I sat next to Dwight Freeney's brother in his rookie year. And he was talking about how frustrated he was because they only used him on third downs in passing situations. And he goes, he's better than that. He's an every down player. And then sure enough, they found that out shortly after week 10 that he was an every down player. And then he started to play. He never came off the field. Unless he was tired. So,
but see, here's my thing about that. You sign a guy for passing downs, and I get the theory behind that. But when teams, are you thinking first down, he's on the sidelines, and teams are throwing 30%, 40% of the times on first downs, and he's on the sidelines, then that means.
We have other pass rushers, though, too.
Right.
More complete players.
I get it. And that's my point. I'd rather not sign that one trick pony. I'd rather.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, and I know I'm going to compare apples and oranges here, but like if you looked at baseball and you were signing a guy that, and I know we don't have lefty specialists anymore, but if you were signing a guy that gets lefties out specifically and you're using him in that role, or if you have, in the National League, teams would sign a pinch hitter, the guy that would come in, he'd get his couple at bats of that, and he'd have to be ready to pinch hit. I think this is the same thing. It's the back end of your career. You're only asked to do things that they think you can have success at. So they're going to put you in when they know it's a passing down.
And this is where I'll push back to that. Pinch hitting is so specific. You know exactly, you know your pinch hitting situation. You do. A pitcher's, in the old school is, pitcher's coming out of the game now, you put him in. Late game, you put him in. I think football is so fluid. To me,
well,
those guys who are pass rushing specialists aren't as valuable as that pinch hitter whose role is clearly defined. I don't think passing situations are no. I don't think they're any longer defined in the NFL.
Well, they are. Third and more than two, more than three is definitely a passing situation almost every single time. You will get a team. I'm not telling you teams won't run it on that, but they're trying to catch you off guard depending on the look you give them. There are clear passing situations across the board that you bring guys in for, and we've seen this. Whether you're bringing a rookie along slow or you're using an aging vet, you're only putting them in the best position possible for them to succeed, and I think that's where they hold value.
If Green has, let's say, 9 sacks or more his rookie year, and he's doing well in those other down situations, and you're bringing him out in those quote-unquote passing situations for a veteran, I would much rather see him play every down than waste that spot on this guy who's just coming in. Because Green has proven that he can get sacks in any situation.
Well, that's why you're bringing these. Again, they're only coming in those situations, but it's also to spell these guys. Like, these are depth pieces. You're not If you're signing Clowney or Judon at this point of their career, I don't think you're signing them expecting them to come in and get you 10 to 12 sacks. You're going to use them situationally. It's just the same thing we talked about with, you know, one of these utility players. He might get his four games a week, but he might have to play second. He might have to play short, the outfield, and DH one day. You know,
Clowney or Judon, if you get either one of them, like these utility guys, better know their role.
And it keeps them fresher, too, throughout
the
season.
Better know their role. Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. I guess you know by now. My answer is neither.
I would kick the tires on Judon, I think, but...
I love Judon. You know that.
Just for the quotes.
Love Judon, man. We sat in here and talked about a Peloton. Yeah. I convinced him to buy a Peloton.
I was at one of his autograph signings in Lock Raven, and we were sitting there just shooting about everything.
Yeah.
Not even football. We're just talking about everything else. But as they call him Gump, because they think he sounds like Forrest Gump when he's talking, and he's got that southern twang. But he's definitely good for a quote a couple times a year. He's a fun guy.
He's cool as hell.
Yeah.
But we're talking productivity. World of Stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 8:15. But on the other side, we'll talk some baseball with Ryan Ripken, who joins us. Talk about this Orioles sweep down in Hotlanta. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:45 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris will be back tomorrow. Joining us right now, becoming the voice of baseball around these parts, Ryan Ripken. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on? Good morning. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
I had a great weekend, man. Listen, before we go Orioles, I'll bring a text conversation we had to air because my baseball man crush is that guy Christian Walker, man. I've liked him since he was really in the Orioles organization. I understand the Orioles kind of chose Mountcastle over him. And at the time, you really can't argue with it. But he has turned himself into one hell of a major league hitter.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, we went back to talk about the Gamecock days. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to get to know him, you know, as a person. You know, I spent a little bit of time down. Actually, his first year in pro ball when he joined the Orioles was my 1 year down at South Carolina. So he came back to train, you know, and I remember just when he came back and everyone talked about the legend that was Christian Walker, because he was unstoppable in college. But everyone I talked to about saying they loved him as a teammate, and his approach is so good. And Christian was a great example because he was a great hitter coming through the Orioles organization. And not only were you trying to figure out what to do with him, and there was another guy too with Trey Mancini.
Yep.
And
there's a lot of them.
You know, the O's had to make a decision. At the time, you really didn't think anything of it, just going, man, you know, just not a spot for him, you know. But it goes to show, just like we're seeing throughout around the majors, you know, you might not latch on and have the success in the place that you start. And he goes out to Arizona and catches fire. And now he's being a part of the Houston Astros, which actually to me might be the team to beat in the American League. So I'm right there with you. I think Christian Walker is such an underrated bat. I know he's been off to a slower start this year, but really, really great player.
Well, Ryan, what's making Trevor Rogers so good, and can we start to buy into this? I mean, we've seen a couple of games now where he's just looked spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, right? I think this is what everyone was hoping when the trade deadline, when the Orioles acquired him at the deadline, right? And look, we're not going to fully know anything until finishing out this year, going into next year and seeing what happens, right? You know, trades like this, when they start to turn a corner, you want to see how long can you continue to do that. But what I do love, you know, and I was listening to his comments after this game down in Atlanta and saying, oh, his velo was down a little bit and saying, you know, a little bit hotter. But he said something and goes, you know, if I control my pitches and I can keep it around the zone, my 92, 93 can play like 95.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Trevor Rogers that was the all-star for him, a guy where he could control the ball. And if his velo, which he never was like that flamethrower, right? But if he can control his pitches and that can make his fastball even better, he can be really, really solid. And he's been more than solid, right? I mean, he's been the Orioles' best starting pitcher in his limited action up in the big league so far this year. So I'm really encouraged by it. And the other thing, too, this is what the Orioles, and this is, you know, this is no knock to anybody, but last year when Corbin Burnes was on the mound, I mean, you had Kyle Bradish. When a guy took the mound and your team had the confidence that you were going to win because of who was having the ball in his hand, that's how it feels with Trevor Rogers.
Yep.
You're sitting there going, who got the ball today? Oh, Rogers got the ball. We got a shot. And that confidence for a team that it brings in itself is valuable. So I'm excited. And obviously, though, I know that everyone's going to look at what's happening down in Miami with my guy Stowers. I'm hoping, and I think this could just be a great trade at the end of the day for each team involved.
There you go. I agree with you on that. Ryan Ripken joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ryan, the Orioles went into Atlanta 39-49, and now sitting at 40-49, getting closer and closer to that 500 mark. You know, getting this thing under 10 has to be a big boost for this ball club going into a day off today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with how the Texas series ended, you know, where you felt like you had that big victory in extra innings. And then Texas once again won the series, and then you're sitting there going to Atlanta going, dang, all right, well, let's try to salvage this road trip and have it be 500. And then you do one better. You go down and you take care of a really struggling Braves team. You win the close games. You win in extra innings, right? You're finding ways to win. And that was something for the Orioles and why they were so far below 500 is that when it got into those moments, they were finding ways to lose the game, not win them. And so, I mean, look, we know what the mountain they have to climb to really get into this, and they got to make some decisions. But for a ball club, you're right. You know, you go home with another positive road trip, and you're sitting there going, hey, if we can continue this up, and you're still looking at the American League, once again, the wild card, that last spot, I believe, is going to be there. You know, but for Baltimore, you still have to keep climbing the ranks. But getting under 10 games under 500, now you can think about it. Hey, we get another good sweep here. You know, you take care of business. You know, then that momentum continues to grow. So definitely monumental. But it doesn't mean anything if you come home and can't continue to ride that out. Because the other thing, too, is Baltimore has to win at home. They have to find ways to win at Camden Yards, which is something like the whole year that they just haven't done particularly well.
Hey, Ryan, you had a chance to sit down with Enrique Bradfield Jr. Only got a few minutes left. What'd you learn about him?
EBJ, if you don't know him, you are going to absolutely love him. I mean, the Spark Notes, and that interview's out on YouTube right now. We don't know how his baseball career is going to turn out, but I think it's a bright one with how good he is defensively, his mindset, his approach. But when you talk to him, he's about the we, not the I. And his approach to life and how he goes about his business is everything you want to embody. So if you guys are interested in getting to know more about the person Enrique Bradfield Jr., and also you look up how he is being described as a player, should get you really excited in Birdland. But such a high character guy that I am just hoping nothing but the best for.
There he is, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, tell us about the podcast.
Ryan Ripken Show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Be ripping it with Bob Haney.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is called Ripping with Ryan. Yeah, I got it this time. On Friday, 12 to 2. And somewhere mixed in between, I'll be doing Baltimore baseball tonight this week.
There you go.
I'm a fan.
Great stuff,
you're
man.
The man. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Thanks,
all right,
Ryan.
Guys. Have a great week.
All right, Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, the Nats fire their manager, Davey Martinez, and the GM, Mike Rizzo. Looking at it right now, you got an interim manager here in Baltimore. Going to probably have an interim manager in D.C. Going into the offseason, out of the two, what's the most enticing job? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.